Nico, go. Go see Andrew. Go see him.
Yeah, he's whistling.
Go see him.
So that there's the end top of Andrew.
Okay, somebody gotta read it or what?
Go get Andrew.
Yeah, I'm sure just read out loud.
Apparently not.
Can you see it to read? Number 10.
You're making me feel rejected.
Well, we can't do
Nobody
that.
We can't make you feel anything. We love you. That's why we're
no,
here.
No, no, no. You're making me feel rejected.
You're allowing
it. Testing. Testing.
Yeah, testing. There you go.
One, two, three. Number 9 or number 10?
Number 10.
Here we go. Number 10 under first words, page 4. Remember, your existence is secure. Now it's up to you to secure yourself in life with the images you truly desire. And that's the work of imaginative minding. Be aware that we did not say to secure yourself in life with the right and appropriate images, as has been proposed and taught for centuries. For the universe will fully support you in living whatever images you truly desire in life. That is the power and authority you possess. Isn't that grand? Number 11.
Hang on a second. Let's talk about this one a bit.
Okay, talk on.
Okay, the work of imaginative minding with the images you truly desire. I always get myself kind of fuddled up here with images I desire, and then seemingly no matter how hard I try, I get to be something I try to live. And I'm sure that's not what Roger is expecting me to do. So, Roger, how do I actually live images that I truly desire? How do I do that without setting
Stop
up with something to live?
Stop living images you don't desire.
Thank you, Roger.
Did you hear that, Paul?
No.
You're constantly living things you don't desire.
Only the things you truly...
It's that simple.
Hey. Stop that. Stop that. We can't let you do this while we're
having... Yeah, I heard that.
Don't live things that you don't desire.
Good girl.
Is it the things or... Is it the things that I don't desire or...
Go.
Do you think the things you're living are going to...
Can you go?
Overcome or solve things.
It's more like
things.
That. It's the things in my life that I do because I think it might fix or correct something in my life. Those are things I don't desire.
Do you do them anyways?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, that's weird. I hear it over there and then...
I guess it takes a lot of discipline to just live the things you truly desire.
Do you even know what that is, what you desire?
We got one, you can start there.
Well, if you're discontented, that's not it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Change. Don't do that again.
So at least in part, set this, my question aside for a moment, and then only for a moment look at what number 10 is saying. Number 10 says that for centuries there has been right and appropriate stuff to live. And that was your pathway to...
Well, what did you list on your sixth thing? What six things did you list?
I wasn't here for that. so I don't know what that was.
Okay. I thought you all had been doing that all afternoon. Haven't you been here all afternoon?
No, didn't get here till about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Andrew 5 o'clock.
Andrew and Karen and I got lost trying to find Costco. Sorry. So it ended up using up half the afternoon trying to get around.
You only have to make two turns.
We found out later after I got my phone out and
off the highway and then up, and then you follow the road. It's not even a turn.
I know I can get there again now.
And you better drive.
All the traffic.
I better drive.
Where are we going? Costco. Is that your birdie making myself
cuckoo? They're supposed to sleep.
When activity's going on. So, did that answer your question, or where are we with your question?
Well, I was saying that actually I really didn't have a question. I was just going to kind of feed back what I think this number 10 says, is that for centuries, there's people have been taught that there are right and appropriate images to live. And Roger's saying, the universe will fully support you in living whatever images you truly desire, and that is the power and authority you possess. Isn't that grand? So we don't, that the universe will fully support us in living any images.
But it doesn't say that Karen would.
It wouldn't say that Karen would?
She's the universe would, but not Karen.
She's the exception?
What?
She's the exception?
She's not the universe.
You didn't hear earlier. You exist in the universe, but you don't live in the universe.
And then we...
So therefore, she doesn't count.
I'm not sure I understand that. What that, how that, how we get there. She's part of the universe that I exist in. Is that correct?
She exists there too.
Well, from my point of view, she's part of the universe, and it's something that I exist in.
What are we reading?
Number 10, first words.
Number 7, what? First words?
First words, number 10.
Is that as far as we've
is
gotten?
That the teacher's guide over there?
That's as far as we have. We have now arrived to number 11.
You've now arrived when I left. Where I left.
We stayed busy.
We talked about other things.
I took my dog for a walk.
And Sharon spent some time in my emergent life care center.
I think Patrick's on to something over here. That might be interesting, though.
Well, that's finding. I can't hear you.
Patrick's trying to define where he is in this whole scheme of things.
Well, I think I looked ahead at number 11, and that begins, 11 begins to speak about that.
What does 11 say?
Your images of yourself and life can be entirely false for everyone else and the world around you. Is that what you're referring to? That that I could be living images, and that's the power of myself, the power. The universe will fully support me in living whatever images, but you said not Karen.
Just like Trump.
Did you hear him?
No word.
Well, pay attention, please.
Yeah, we should pass the microphone. Speak up.
for your hand?
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to discuss 11?
Yeah, we're just getting some extra cord.
You know, I'm talking to him. Does he want to discuss 11?
Okay, now.
If so, you got to read it.
I will. Your images of yourself and life can be entirely false for everyone else and the world around you. But if they are true for you and you live them or give life to those images, the universe will fully support your lifing those images and will present itself to you according to those images, regardless of what they may be.
You don't like that?
No, I like that. Oh, I think that's absolutely fabulous. And that makes so much sense. So what may be absolutely true for me may not be true for Karen whatsoever. Is that not true?
Do you want
There's
that
no
to be
true? In
there. Yes, I want that to be true.
I don't believe you.
I want that to be true. Sometimes I don't. It's uncomfortable that it is that way, but it is true.
What?
I say I want that to be true.
I said I don't believe you want it to be true.
When I'm disagreeing with your assessment.
I know you are.
And I think I want it to be true because that's the way I want the universe to be.
Where are you going?
I was going to get up so you can take your damn jacket off.
You don't have to get up for me to do that.
So I want that to be true, but I can see that at times I might find that uncomfortable, especially in my relationship with Karen.
I got lost. Like, what do you want to be true?
Yeah, say that again.
The images that I have of myself in life can be entirely false for everyone else. And the world around me, but if they are true for me and I live them and give life to them, then the universe will fully support them. I want that to be true. And if Karen's images are different than mine, they're real for her and they may not be real for me, and I might find that uncomfortable.
Why do you keep arguing with her?
Hmm?
Why do you keep arguing with her?
That I'd like her to change her mind.
So then you don't really want that to be true. You want it that she agrees with you.
Right. Can't there be two levels of that?
No.
Okay. I think I see that then.
So are you saying if it's true for him, it's got to be true for me?
I'm saying that's what he's thinking.
His matched of mine and ours might not be the same as yours.
Right. But what you're saying is that
you're being different. You're what's true for you, being different than what's true for him, is not a satisfactory for him.
Is a problem. He would my truth to be his truth.
Yeah, he's not
your mind
to be your truth. Yes. Yeah.
It isn't a matter of he'd like that. He wants that up to the eyeballs.
Okay.
he wants to control your free will.
If you put it that way.
Are you having a problem living them?
What?
Unless she agrees?
Oh, no. No. Actually, the more I think about it here, that up until relatively recently, I think I would have agreed with Roger 1,000%. But there is, in recent times.
What was recent times? Yesterday?
No, 3-4 weeks, month.
That almost doesn't count.
Well, it's hanging in there still. It's really hanging in. I don't need Karen to be the same as me.
Yeah, you do.
Well,
it isn't a matter of need it to be. You want it to be.
I don't know how that contradicts my desire, or I think it's really super that this is the way the universe works. A consequence of that is that it seems set up conflict with anybody and everybody that I am in existence with. And that just seems to be a consequence of this statement of how the universe works. The potential is not potential. The act, in fact, is that virtually everybody that I exist with, I'm going to somehow or other be at odds with. And that's okay. It just seems to be that's the way it is then. I thought that was a problem. I had to fight with everybody, either actively or surreptitiously, but I just don't see that as necessary anymore.
Has he changed?
No.
Yep.
Do you believe that?
Yep. Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
You always claim amazing on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear him when you get started. I don't hear some of this amazing.
Well, I wish we lived closer together. You'd be able to have a chance to see in real time how things have been changing in my life. Really, really big time.
Besides getting older?
I sometimes wonder if that's what's driving it. Maybe I just don't. I don't know. It's the change is taking place. I'm enjoying it immensely. Life is easier.
It's easier to be with.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
So this amazing stuff is for real?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, he's been gradually making changes in the way he sees things. He's been working really hard at it.
So you're doing number 12.
I haven't read that part.
You're lifing it without conflict.
Number 12?
Okay, I'll read it. Number 12. There is no good or evil, right or wrong, in the universe or the world around you, only in your languaging. So create the images of yourself as a mortal being, personal being, and as an eternal being you truly desire, and life them without conflict. This is not creating your own isolated world. This is creating the worldly universe as you life your images, which you have always done, but you did not establish inspiring and abiding images, or ones without threats and conflicts. you sought only right images as you were told. You have even attempted to live images that would preserve you and ensure your survival, believing that is life. But this only creates conflict. So I come back to the same kind of question here on this one. Do I create or do I establish inspiring and abiding images through living?
For you.
Through living as an inspiring and abiding being?
Not necessarily.
It's the cart before the horse question for me, always it comes up. Do I have the images first and live them? Or do I live, and as I live, I see the images I'm
there?
Both? Okay.
The point is that when you say inspiring images and then live them, those inspiring images are based on language and good and bad and right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're in trouble.
So if I inspire myself and live the images of myself inspiring, I guess that doesn't necessarily avoid the, well, those are good inspiring things.
Yeah, you would still get trapped.
So if you know what you truly desire, then doesn't that so if you know what you truly desire, then doesn't that just take care of the problem and the equation? You don't even have to think or just know your what you truly desire and live it.
What do you truly desire?
My doings, or there's a long list. What do I truly desire?
Any way you want to. What is it that you truly
continue
desire?
Being myself.
What?
Just continue being myself.
Well, what does that mean?
It means whatever I want it to mean at the moment. Be unfolding and emerging.
Are you inspired by that?
Self-inspired, yes.
I think you're kidding yourself.
That's your perspective, not mine. I will accept it as your perspective.
Well, can we even really truly live what we truly desire? Or is it like you said a little while ago, just don't live what you don't desire?
Well, you can live what you desire. He said, how do you do that? You start off by not living what you don't desire.
Yeah.
And I think she's living some not to desire.
So if I tell you, okay, this is my list of things that I truly desire, aren't they really going to be not desires? We're going to be trying to fix a problem kind of list.
Maybe.
And then, so that's where you, when you said don't live what you don't desire, that actually makes more sense to me. I'm telling you what I truly desire, I'm going to just not do what I don't desire. That make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's a convoluted way of living life.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you'd clarify that. Because I keep running into that when you say, what do you truly desire? What do we answer that with?
What you truly desire.
That was my question.
And what is that?
That's what I'm asking you.
Ah. Is it?
Like, what do you desire, like, right now?
Clarity.
Clarity, yeah. More understanding. But isn't clarity, is a, not, like, it's against unclarity, right? Or, I want to say, understanding how the universe works. Is that not against ununderstanding or not understanding? Not enough understanding.
Well, it's always going to be the yeah. opposite side of everything mm-hmm. if you really want to look at it, because that's the way our language is set.
Yes. So, but we've been through this so many times before. That's where you can't live contentment. You can only not discontent.
You can't justify it. You can live it, but you can't justify it.
What does justify it mean?
If you justify it, you'll get into language. Can't you live it without getting trapped in language? And if you get trapped in language, then everything you say.
Right.
I think God.
Is it she? Oh, she wasn't here.
Your daughter isn't over here.
So if I start answering your question, what do you truly desire, I'm likely to go into justification.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is okay with me. But you're going to trap yourself in language.
Yeah. Why is it okay with you?
I don't care what you do.
Right.
I'm living my true desires.
Can you describe it? Your true desires?
Teaching in the Parthenon.
Teaching which?
Teaching in the Parthenon.
Okay.
This is just an extension thereof.
Right.
And you couldn't say that unless you had generated that past for yourself. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Generating that past for myself makes it easier to say that, solve the problem without getting into conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But see, I didn't justify that.
No.
No.
Not at all.
I made a statement of what it was. Mm-hmm.
And you'd be willing to do it eternally.
Sure. In any form. Mm-hmm. You hiking up your girdle?
No, that ridge was kind of uncomfortable to sit on. I wanted her to quit playing while we had class.
She did.
So, shall we move on?
Yeah, that was very...
Sure, because I need to go to the bathroom anyway.
Well, then let's hold up for a second.
See, when I have to go to the bathroom, everybody clears the way or else.
Or else.
Makes it easier.
Clean up everything.
Or else. Makes it easier. So, do you know what you truly desire?
Does it kind of feed in?
It comes in and out of focus.
How about you?
Well, I'm still pondering what we just talked about. I mean, Roger's answer was teaching in the parking lot.
Okay.
So
is there something that you could do eternally? that you would do?
Well, it's got to be, to follow that pattern, it's got to be something that I have created that past already, you know, and go from there. So if I start telling you, oh, you know, helping other people expand their lives or something, that's a current thing. I don't think that's what that, I think, is getting stuck in the language again.
Okay, but is it something you're willing to do eternally?
Yeah.
Because in the past, it seems like that was sort of always the defining point that you could double check if you were fooling yourself or not, was if you could do it eternally. Is that right, Misty?
I'm sorry, I wasn't privy to it.
Okay. Good idea. So that's the one thing I found when I first started going to Roger's talks is I really didn't even know what I desired. I didn't even know where to start. Didn't know who I really was.
But I think the point he was making is that actually you do. It's just when you start talking about it, you screw yourself. That's when he said, I'll start justifying it.
Okay.
So that
instead of a simple statement. What are you doing? Why?
Yeah, that might. That might help.
So, Misty, would you say that an answer to what is your truly desires, would it always be in that pattern of teaching in the Parthenon, a past that I had made for myself?
I don't think it has to be, no. Okay. No, I don't think that it has to be relative to a past.
How does it not turn into a what he called a justification?
Well, it's when you have to clarify to everybody, this is why I've chosen this desire. Then you're justified. But if you just say, this is what I desire,
right?
And if somebody says, why, you just say, because this is what I desire.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to say, well, I desire this because of da-da-da-da-da-da, well, now you're justifying.
So, okay, so if I say, this is what I desire, and Roger says, why, as he's kind of going to.
Yes, but he's testing me.
He is right. Testing me.
Because this is what I desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no reasons other than this is what I desire.
Look at, I live this way and I live that way and I prove it here and I prove it there and that's all justification. Yeah.
So when did he become aware that he of his eternal desire of teaching in the Parthenon?
Before this lifetime.
Oh.
Long before this lifetime.
And when in this lifetime?
I would say that he started understanding that in his 40s.
Mm-hmm. And was that like something turned on? Or was it an involvement or an emergence?
Well,
he realized that's what he'd been doing.
I think that it was emergent out of what he was doing. He had been doing automatic writing, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And
when
then
you say automatic writing.
Sitting there, just
letting diarrhea happen,
yeah,
out the pan.
And then one time, he was sitting there with headphones on, listening to 2001 Overture from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at this party, and he was bored to tears. So he asked the host for his earphones, and he got it. And he was in this hanging, you know, those hanging basket type chairs.
Yeah, in the old days.
And he asked him if he could have a piece of paper or something, and the next thing he knew it was, he heard, loud and clear, well, it's about time.
Right.
And then that was when he started discovering his teachers and realized his past about the Parthenon.
And then it was, he was teaching himself that way for quite a while after that.
Mm-hmm. Self-reminding him.
But he had been doing a lot of things to get to that point. That's why I say it was emergent out of the things that he had been doing. So where are we?
We come to number 13.
Okay. He wants to broadcast 13 for us.
I got the mic.
You got the mic? Why don't you do it, Pat?
Your survival or existence is assured. So now image and live the eternal self and life you truly desire to go along with your existence.
Why is it I'm not hearing you through the mic?
What did you say, Misty?
The mic's not working.
Is the mic, were you using the mic?
I did, and my...
No, you're not. Is it turned off?
No, there's no turn off on it.
Oh.
I don't know why. Try it again.
Testing, testing, testing.
I think we found that. Good morning, Andrew.
Testing, testing, testing.
No,
we hear you
too.
Okay. Okay, your survival or existence is assured. So now image and live the eternal self and life you truly desire to go along with your existence.
Put that in.
So what do you think? Make your declaration and let it unfold.
In the previous passage, he says you have even attempted to live images that would preserve you and ensure your survival, believing that is life. So when, if in saying your survival or existence is assured, saying,
oh yeah, you don't have to quit
spending time and energy and trying to preserve yourself or protect yourself or whatever.
Right.
Live long enough to accomplish that thing that you've been desiring that you didn't realize you already had.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the basic needs of the loner body. They're going to go on anyway. And if that's all we're going to do, that's all we're going to experience. So now image and live the eternal self and life. Because we, self and life truly desire to go along with your existence. And the, you know, we don't live in the universe, but we exist in it. Come on, quit farting around with this survival shit. Get on with living as you truly desire.
It's a very reassuring, you know, thing. You don't have to do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna die if you don't project a certain image.
No. There's some people out there that absolutely feel that they would.
What was that you said, Susan?
I said you're not going to die if you don't project a certain image to the world.
Well, and then Misty said, oh yeah, well, there are some people, it is life or death.
Uh-huh. But see, that's what those people are going through.
No, that's what they are putting themselves through.
Right.
Right. They have chosen to live life in that way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. They're good. Okay.
14.
More than 50 years ago, John F. Kennedy said in his inaugural address, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Following this pattern, what comes to mind when we say, "Ask not what your life can do for you, ask what you can do for your life"? Does this not ask what you can do for yourself or others in your life? This does not ask what you can do for yourself or others in your life. It actually asks what you can do for your life. Isn't it possible that you are living a life other than what you have known and followed for years and even for many lifetimes?
So basically, what is that saying?
It's that basic pattern that if I want it in my life, I got to do it for myself.
You've got to live it. You've got to live it into your life.
I have to live it.
What's it mean to say? Isn't it possible that you are living a life other than what you have known and followed for years?
You have to follow what was said earlier in that statement. Popping into the middle of a sentence isn't going to get you any understanding.
Also, that was a little bit off. I heard you say it different from the way it says.
Isn't it possible that you are living a life other than what you have known and followed for years?
That's a little different.
So that last line, isn't it possible that you're living? Is that suggesting then that
part of the conflict? Speak up or use the mic, Patrick, because I cannot hear you.
I can hear you when you use the mic.
Okay. Then isn't it possible that you're living a life other than what you have known and followed for years? This suggests that that's the source of a lot of the conflict that I may be experiencing, that I know that there is something other that I have been living, but this time I'm not, or at this moment I'm not, and I've experienced the conflict of that.
I think it's the conflict that we have spoken about, that between the physical existence and the eternal existence, and the struggle in between the two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he wasn't here then.
That's the discontent.
Yeah, but he's heard it before.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that lots of times.
That's the only illness that exists, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how you're looking at your life is maybe not what you're actually living.
Who you are may not be who you are living. Does that make it clearer for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that says, but how it relates to before.
You might have, as I recall number 10, you might have lived images that were right and appropriate by that time, but that hasn't been you.
Yeah, society says they're right and appropriate, but that's not me.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I understand.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Sounds to me here like it's you're actually living your abiding life,
You're always living your abiding life. And you're living your physical life, and the problem is the conflict between the two. Mm-hmm. And the one that you really think you're living is the physical life, but you don't even have any idea that the abiding is going on.
Right, right. That's what that sentence means to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the discontentment you feel.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm doing everything the way that society says to do it. And I'm not happy.
That was where we started when I first started coming to the classes.
Yeah. Doing everything the right way.
Wake up. You're unhappy.
Right.
I remember challenging her. You're unhappy.
Okay, for you, Susan?
Got
that one. So number 15.
All right.
Your night dreams portray a continuous, eternal story that has been going for centuries. But you only open and experience an episode or two each night, such that your dreams seem to be separate and different. Yet they are all part of one continuing story of your eternal abiding self in life. In the same way, each present, past, and future life is not a separate or different life. Each life is an episode of one moment in a single abiding life. Eternal abiding life. This abiding story is a life you have been living for centuries without knowing it. Isn't it about time you became aware of this continuing abiding self and life?
I know what it says.
Okay. The data information which is found in your eternal soul, your abiding DNA, not in your loner self, mortal DNA. Doesn't this create an entirely new image of death? This continuing is more than recurring. It involves continuing awareness of your abiding body self and life, and the awareness can be accessed through direct perception of imagination.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So, I have a question here. Roger?
What?
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Do we actually have two DNAs?
I wondered if anybody's going to bring that up.
Abiding DNA and a mortal DNA?
Wouldn't you suspect if that's true?
That could be possible, yes, when I read it. Yeah.
No, I mean, haven't you always suspected that it was true?
So a long time I thought I have only a mortal DNA, but since you introduced me to abiding, I think I have an abiding DNA too.
Abiding means eternal.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't define those words this morning. And do I live them at the same time, though? Yes. As the loner is the abiding?
Loner is not abiding, it's not eternal.
You could make it eternal, though, right?
Okay, that's a different issue.
Okay, yes. My statement was not so correct. How do I say it?
Oh, yeah.
What else does it bring up?
When I live both DNAs together?
No, just the fact that you have two DNAs, what does it bring up?
What does it bring up?
Doesn't it bring up that you have two bodies? Doesn't it bring up that you also have an eternal body?
Yes. And which one do you want to have be the dominant DNA?
I would like to have the abiding DNA to be the dominant.
Right. But most of us are living the other.
Yes, that's me too.
So then fixing your body to live your mortal DNA doesn't do any good at all. No serious good. No lasting good.
It does do you the good of having time in the physical.
What?
It gives you the time in the physical to do whatever it is that you truly desire to do.
You really don't need time. It does give you time, but you don't need time. That's because we take time. We drag things out. So you're correct in that. Well, your daughter's gone to sleep.
She's
gone
bedtime.
To bed anyway.
Yeah, it's her bedtime.
Kind of like Andrew.
Mm-hmm. He got up early.
He didn't get any sleep last night. Okay, so.
I'm glad I'm not 40 again. He had no stamina at all.
So what are we on, 16?
No, I think we still got some more we can talk about in 15. So they ask the question here, doesn't this create an entirely new image of death? This continuing is more than recurring. It involves continuous awareness of your abiding body, self, and life. You asked the question earlier, doesn't this statement about abiding DNA and mortal DNA. Say, if we suggest then, if we have a continued awareness of my abiding body self, and that's,
doesn't that screw up your whole image of self?
Yeah, slightly. It does. That it changes the perspective entirely. The whole notion of safety and survival is gone. That's so much of what is motivated body self.
Why is that gone?
Because the death, if I in having a self image as abiding,
they are made worse off in that regard.
It may be, you're suggesting.
What?
Are you suggesting it could be worse off?
Yeah.
That if I'm hung on to the notion of death and dying of my body,
then death and dying of your eternal body would mean that you are less secure.
Are we not suggesting we're not talking about recurrence, we're talking about continuous? And that the abiding self and body
even
self and life.
Recurring. Even in recurring, you made the flat statement that security would go away. I say it becomes a bigger problem.
I don't understand that.
Because you still have a body and a self. Eternal self. If I give you a body, your insecurity is your body. So if you have eternal self, you have a body, then you still have the insecurity of having a body.
I hadn't thought of that. So in this, the eternal abiding DNA, as you said, suggests that we have an abiding body. Is that what we're saying?
That's false.
And you're saying that even that can die.
You said it all goes away, and I'm saying
the insecurity about death.
Does it really go away, or does it bring up a different level of security, of insecurity?
I think it's worth considering here, for me anyway. I've assumed that that abiding eternal self that death doesn't mean an ending.
But if it has a body, then death could be an ending of its body.
But as an abiding eternal being, am I confined? Is my self-image confined to that body? Or would I see myself as something? Something that would, I can't think of the word, where is my word, transcend what we call death.
The only thing that gave you safety and security was not having an eternal body. It was a self, not a body. If we have eternal DNA, then you may have an eternal body. Then what?
Yeah, it sounds like we're stuck again.
Yeah, but just like you can change the DNA in this body, you can change the DNA in your eternal
body.
Yeah,
but all I'm talking about, he said his insecurities and all that go away. I'm just suggesting that's not true. It compounds.
Hmm. Then what do you mean when you wrote, your survival or existence is assured?
What do you think I mean?
That you don't worry about death.
Okay.
And then I don't understand how we've got back into it, meaning death again.
Because you said it all goes away. And I say maybe it doesn't. How can we discuss something unless we talk about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was taking as a clue that since a survival or existence is assured.
You hadn't gotten to that point.
What do you mean, hadn't got to that point?
Huh?
What do you mean, hadn't gotten to that
point? You hadn't read down that far.
Well, I actually read past that already.
But you hadn't read there.
Yeah, we read it while you were in the bathroom.
You what?
We read that while you were in the bathroom.
Well, that doesn't count.
Okay.
We are supposed to go on when you are off.
Then you have to tell me that you've gone on.
Okay.
We went on.
Yeah.
Because I'm responding to where we were.
But there is, but you raise the point now that if we're going to say that there is a eternal abiding body with DNA, then we have to have discussion what that body entails. Is it as corporal as this body?
Doesn't matter.
A body is a body, no matter what. Is that the suggestion? And then, therefore, unless I've lived and truly made my body eternal, abiding body, made it truly abiding, then anything short
made
of that.
It truly eternal.
Truly eternal. Then anything short of that, then death. Of the body, or ending of that body is inevitable.
No, I didn't say that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But isn't that consideration?
Yeah, that's a consideration. Yep, I think so. Yep.
Now read 11.
Well, we're actually. at 15.
What?
We're at 15.
Okay, read 16.
That's part. I can't remember. Was Roger in the room when we read that one?
I wasn't in the room for anything.
Well, he came out and I asked about the DNA stuff.
Oh, yeah. So that's about we read that and Simone asked you about the abiding DNA.
That was in 15.
All right, 15.
Yeah. So now we come to 16.
Okay.
Read 15 again.
Again?
Okay, read 15 again.
Your night dreams portray a continuous eternal story that has been going on for centuries, but you only open and experience an episode or two each night, such that your dreams seem to be separate and different. Yet they are all part of one continuing story of your eternal abiding self in life. In the same way, each present, past, and future life is not a separate or different life. Each life is an episode of one moment in a single eternal abiding life. This abiding story is a life you have been living for centuries without knowing it. Isn't it about time you became aware of this continuing abiding self in life? The data information which is found in your eternal soul, your abiding DNA, not in your loner self, mortal DNA. Doesn't this create an entirely new image of death? This continuing is more than recurring. It involves continued awareness of your abiding body self and life, and the awareness can be assessed through the direct perception of imagination.
Say something, Susan?
I said, so you have to be aware. I think that's important.
It doesn't say you have to be aware.
No. It says continued awareness.
But you can imagine it.
Awareness isn't in your imagination.
Imagination.
So you wrote here, it involves continued awareness of your abiding body self in life. And the awareness that you wrote about can be accessed through the direct perception of imagination.
I can see we're not going to get through this book.
Just slightly.
We may not get through this section. Or if Andrew comes back, we won't get past promise, your eternal religion.
We must imagine it. Imagine your awareness.
No, imagine getting to the
book. Oh, yeah.
Why are we having so much damn problem with each sentence?
We're not.
Well, it sounds like it to me.
No, we're not.
Then explain what we just read.
Okay. Do you want to?
And if nobody can explain it, then I guess we are having a problem.
I think what I take from this is that you use dreams as a way of illustrating a continuous eternal story. And whether or not we're open to that, that's what's going on in our eternal body, self in life. But unless we're willing to access that information through direct perception and imagination, we will never fulfill an experience living as an eternal self and life.
Medicine.
Is that medicine? Isn't that good for you?
Yeah. It's good for you. Green medicine.
Okay, should we move on to the next one?
Yes.
At the Life Center, we will take you on a journey of direct perception through imagination.
Emergent Center. Emergent Life Center.
Life Care Center, it says here.
That's hangover from our beginning, and then I didn't catch it.
Okay, so it's the emergent. We'll take you on a journey of direct perception through imagination so you can emergently experience your eternal abiding self and life.
Any questions?
Number 17, Abraham Lincoln wrote in a letter, How hard it is to die and leave one's country no better than if one had never lived for it. Following this pattern, what comes to mind when we say, how hard it is to die and leave one's abiding self and life no better than if we had never lived for it. If you are willing to personally experience your abiding self and life, we at the Emergent Life Center will go on this journey with you and guide you. Yeah, that seems pretty clear that if I have done nothing to add to my abiding self in life, I've really missed an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And lived a whole life of discontent.
Yeah. Number 18, for centuries it has been believed and is frequently declared even today in one form or another that an all-originating spirit of life, God, in order to experience and contemplate itself, created a cosmos of peace and harmony and all righteousness out of itself. Then to fulfill this plan of self-awareness, perception, and meditation, the all-originating spirit created human beings as companion spirits, endowed them with volition, which is frequently called free will.
Volition, the ability to do wrong? No. What's volition? Capacity to
ability to do anything.
Ability to do anything.
Yeah, it's just plain ordinary free will to do anything. Mm-hmm. But anybody?
What is the definition on that? In this Webster's, it says volition is the act of willing or choosing, the exercise of the will, the power of determining.
That little dictionary is useless.
The I don't remember, or none of my background suggests the all originating spirit created human beings as companions. That's an interesting notion.
Okay.
That just never occurred to me. That just God did this.
Yeah.
Okay. Just made humans.
More like angels. Playthings, hey?
What's that?
More like playthings.
So you punish them, you know, kick them out.
Now it said that that's what's been said.
Yeah.
Except you who brought up a Catholic.
Yeah, the Catholic's got everything different, yeah.
They have everything their own way.
Okay, number 19. By definition, volition is the act of willing, choosing, or deciding. This is not free will. In fact, willing, choosing, deciding reveals a complete lack of free will. For living as you truly desire is far different than willing, choosing, deciding to live as you truly desire, which is why those who believe in volition, free choice, and free will to live correctly also believe, unfortunately, that life on earth is a school for learning the proper use of volition, which souls willingly accept with all its trials, conflicts, and disheartening struggles as an opportunity for spiritual growth and understanding, and proper or moral use of volition, which will advance those souls towards fulfilling God's original plan. Considering the importance of this and similar false beliefs have had on mankind for centuries, it is worth careful reconsideration, which requires real thinking.
What was God's original plan for people?
For what?
People.
A false concept in the first place. There isn't a God that had a plan.
By his religion, what was God's plan for people?
To go forth and
be fruitful, multiply,
be fruitful and multiply.
What else?
But to stay the hell out of this garden. Don't pick
the fruits of good and evil.
Yeah, don't pick the fruit of the tree of good and evil. That was the plan.
Basically, his plan was to live by emergent.
What?
His plan was to live by emergent.
We don't know that. I'm just talking. I just asked him about his religion, what the answer was.
Don't pick from the tree of good and evil. Actually, the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
So is that it? Just go forth and multiply.
And don't play with it. Don't go do this good and evil stuff.
So that's the original plan.
That's the original plan. Don't do this good and evil stuff and look at this beautiful place that I made for you.
That's all.
And I think that's the basic plan before Peter got hold of it and decided that that wasn't enough. Mm. But it, as written in the Bible, I think that was the basic plan, my recollection anyway. And that sets up, as you've written here, you have, like, I've got a number of Christian friends who swear on a stack of Bibles that God gave us all free will, and he'll hold us accountable for how we use it.
Yeah, but their definition of free will is...
do what he said.
Right.
Yeah, that's not free whatsoever.
It's to know good from evil and choose good.
Yeah. So it.
Why don't you challenge people then?
I do. And it, it's amazing. Some people, they get very angry.
You disagree with people, you don't challenge them.
No, I challenge them. There's one more recent one was a guy named Robin, and I thought he was going to punch me. He got so angry that how else are you going to find a way to get around in this world if you don't get that figured out? Like, you know, good and evil. He was just apoplectic. He couldn't even consider that there was a way you could successfully live in the world if you didn't take time to figure out what was good and evil.
Oh, okay. Go catch the roach. That wasn't people.
So
oh,
the
God, yeah, eat it.
Moth?
No, what happened to Sharon?
She's hiding behind you.
She gave up?
I'm standing, no. Eat it. I'm just standing up.
Did you know cockroaches actually have cockroach milk? They feed their young? Just learned that today. Just FYI.
They have to call it a fly. Then she might eat it.
It's funny, I mean, I've challenged a lot of people, but I've never had that situation.
Well, I was really surprised. I've had people push back and
wonder. Maybe the way you challenge them is the problem.
No, actually, I thought it was pretty gentle. Maybe it's just he had a bad day going for him, and that's all it took. But anyway, you hear that you've written here, considering the importance of this and similar false beliefs have had on mankind for centuries, it is worth careful reconsideration, which requires real thinking, not just talking about these things.
Did I get an anti-itch pill for there? Mm-hmm. My back itches.
So real thinking, not just talking about it. Now, what I come up with is that what's laid out in number 19 here is at the very root of all the struggle that people live. Whether they're churchgoers or not, that's become the framework that they try to live their lives through.
By the time I find the keys, it'll turn itself off.
Was that your
car? Yeah, it just did.
Does it just do that?
So.
It's alive. It has a mind of its own. It's smart. So that's true. And so that's what I do in my little life care emergent center, show people to those programs and help them unravel.
Number 20.
A good friend died of cancer a few years ago, and her last words to her husband were, "You have to live these things. You can't just talk about them. Right now is the starting point of a new freedom, a new beginning of self and self-awareness, a rebirthing of yourself and life to abiding. But you must live these things, not just talk about them. Are you willing to live as an eternal abiding being?"
No?
Yes.
I'm waiting.
Like you would, can you?
Yeah.
You can turn that right around and say, yes, you can, but will you? There you go.
Oh, right here, top of the page.
She thinks we're sleeping again.
What?
10 o'clock. I think that we should probably call it a night.
Okay.
So that you can get some sleep and be fresh in the morning.
I won't be fresh in the morning anyway.
Okay, how fresher?
This is as fresh as it gets.
How many hours of sleep are you getting these days?
What?
How many hours of sleep are you getting these
Depends
days?
Depends on it. Some days I don't get to sleep.
And some you do.
Some I do, so I don't know. It's too inconsistent to know.
Mm-hmm. Right.